So this week we're going to briefly touch on the topic. One of the things that's listed on there is silence. The germ, which is G-I-R-M, which stands for the General Instruction, the Roman Missal. Basically, this is an instruction manual on the Mass. It says that this about silence. Sacred silence, also as part of the celebration, is to be observed at the designated times. Even before the celebration itself, it is a praiseworthy practice for silence to be observed in the church, in the sacristy, in the vesting room, and in adjacent areas, so that all may dispose themselves to carry out the sacred celebration in a devout and fitting manner. So the purpose of silence is what it says here, right? That we may dispose ourselves in a devout and fitting manner, as the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and our sacrifice is offered. This is not to say that we shouldn't have time, like, to talk to each other, to get to know each other, to develop our relationships with each other, to grow in fellowship, right? That's kind of what we're doing in here, having this time where we can kind of spend time together to get to know each other. But we should refrain from it, or at least minimize as much as possible it from happening during the Mass. As the document states, these times of silence are not merely times when nothing happens, because sometimes we kind of think that. Our world that we're in today kind of inundates us with sound, with busyness. The times that we have in the Mass of silence that are before or after the Mass or during certain parts of the Mass can be uncomfortable sometimes for us if we're kind of thinking about how everything should just be always something. So we should strive for silence in the Mass. It's there for our benefit, to help us to enter more deeply into this time of prayer. It reminds us, it's kind of shocking if we're kind of living in the world all the time, it reminds us that we're there to worship, that we're not there to do the things that we do out in the world. It helps us to refocus. So that's why we enter the building in silence, to ask our Lord to prepare our hearts for what we're about to participate in. And we pray in thanksgiving after Mass in silence, right? For having the privilege of being able to take part in it. It can seem like it's this insignificant thing, like it's not that important. But each moment of the Mass is charged with divinity and our opportunity to become partakers of that divinity. And silence helps us to enter into that. Another thing that our modern world has done, especially our American culture, is to make everything informal, right? To take the formality of everything. But at the Mass, it shouldn't be that way. Everything in the church and the liturgy is supposed to draw us towards Jesus Christ, to draw us towards the sacred. Everything that we have, we talked about some of it, like we have the statues, the liturgical vessels, the chalice and the paten, the prayers and music, even the architecture, how the building itself is designed. All of that is to draw our souls heavenward. And we talked a little bit about that last week, how the Mass is actually the heavenly liturgy, right? We're participating in something in heaven. And this is one of the reasons why bishops, priests, deacons like our good deacon back there, Deacon Tom, the acolytes, they're all wearing something different than they normally wear when they're walking around out in the world, right? And so we need to think about ourselves in that regard too when we're at Mass. Like, are we dressing in a way that makes actual the fact that we're participating in something different, something special? If I look at the clothing I'm wearing, would I be able to say that? And it's not about buying the most expensive clothes or something like that. It's just making sure that we're giving Jesus our best, if you will. And it's in doing these little things, like changing how we dress, like being quiet at different times, the ways that we act outside of the world. It's in doing these little things that our souls are formed in the Lord. Saint Therese of Lisieux says, "You know well enough that our Lord does not look so much at the greatness of our actions, nor even at their difficulty, but at the love with which we do them." So that's kind of the intention that should be behind these things. When we come to Mass, we want to make sure that we arrive early, because we want to make sure that we have enough time to prepare. We want to remember that we are coming out of the world, coming out of that busyness and noise and informality, and entering into something different, into something sacred. And as we wait, we should be in prayer. So there are many different things for which you can pray, but remember, the point of that time is that you're preparing to worship God. And the Mass is the highest form of the prayer that the Church has. And ultimately, right, that we're only worthy to even be there to participate, to offer ourselves to God because of God's grace and His gift of His life. So the first gesture as we enter the Church is dipping our hands in holy water and making the sign of the cross. Holy water, for those of us who are baptized, reminds us of our baptism. should call it to mind, and the promises that were made either by us or on our behalf by our godparents and parents. For those of us who are not baptized, the holy water is there to look, to help us to look forward, right? To stir up in us the gift that we're going to receive and the forgiveness that we're going to be receiving. The reason that we make the sign of the cross is to enter more deeply into two of our most central beliefs, right? We say in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, right? We call upon the name of God himself, so the Blessed Trinity. And then also the sign of our, we make the sign of our salvation, right? We make it in the form of a cross where our Lord's death took place. Father Romano Guardini, in his book called Sacred Signs, had this to say about making the sign of the cross. He says, on the cross, Christ redeemed mankind. By the cross, he sanctifies man to the last shred and fiber of his being. We make the sign of the cross before we pray, to collect and compose ourselves, and to fix our minds and hearts and wills upon God. We make it when we finish praying, in order that we may hold fast the gift we have received from God. In temptations, we sign ourselves to be strengthened, in dangers, to be protected. The cross is signed upon us in blessings in order that the fullness of God's life may flow into the soul and sanctify us wholly. So real quick, the book that I'm getting this quote from is, like I said, it's called Sacred Signs. It's actually in the public domain. You can go online and read the whole thing. It was written, I believe, in the 1920s, if I remember correctly. But it's filled with wonderful things about all the different things that we're talking about, different postures and gestures and the reasons that we do different things in the Mass. So if you're interested in delving into this a little bit more, it's totally free. Just go online, type Romano Guardini, Sacred Signs, and it'll come up somewhere. So how do we make the sign of the cross? If you have the use of your right hand, you use your right hand, even if you're left-handed. You make that sign of your body on your head, in the name of the Father, your breast, Son, and your shoulders, Holy Spirit. The next thing that we do after we bless ourselves with holy water and make the sign of the cross is we reverence Christ. If he's present in the Blessed Sacrament in the tabernacle, right, we reverence him in the tabernacle. And we do this by genuflecting. If he's not, then we reverence the altar. And we'll talk about how that's going to happen in a second. So we know that if our Lord is present in the Blessed Sacrament in the tabernacle, there's a sanctuary lamp, right, that red light that tells us that Jesus is present. So we genuflect facing him as either as we enter the nave itself, or most people do it when they enter the pew. You just go down on one knee and touch the ground for a moment and stand back up. So that's just done on your right knee, down, back up, and that's it. That's a genuflection. Some people make the sign of the cross when they do it. That's totally fine. It's not necessary, but if you want to do that. That USCCB document that I mentioned before, that's here, says that traditionally Catholics genuflect on entering and leaving the church. And in the germ in paragraph 274, it says, all who pass before the most blessed sacrament genuflect unless they are moving in procession. So that helps us to remember, right, our external gestures. The reason we're doing these things is to signify something that's supposed to be going on internally. We're recognizing Jesus Christ as our King. We're entering into his presence. And so as part of that internal worship, we do something externally with our bodies. We do that genuflection down and back up. If some people can't genuflect for whatever reason, right? If you can't genuflect, then you make what's called a profound bow. If you can't make a profound bow, you make a simple bow, and I'll explain those in a second. As I mentioned, the Blessed Sacrament is not present in the church, like on Good Friday, or some churches have the Blessed Sacrament reposed in like a side chapel. If that's the case and you come into the church, when you enter, like I said, you're going to reverence the altar. You did that by making a profound bow, which is a bow from your waist. So you would do that, like that at your waist. That's a profound bow. The reason that we do that, the reason we genuflect and reverence our Lord if he's present in the Blessed Sacrament is because it's an act of adoration, right? That's what we're doing, which is reserved alone for God, right? When we reverence the altar, it's not Jesus himself, it only represents Jesus, and so we are reverencing it as an act of veneration, right? It's not adoration. So we're also called to use the simple vows, which I mentioned before, and again, that document and the germ tell us that as a sign of respect and reverence, even in our speech, we bow our heads at the name of Jesus. So you might see this If you're not doing it yourself, you might see this every once in a while, the people around you or the people up that are in the sanctuary all of a sudden will bow their head like that, right? That's at the name of Jesus. Or it says when the three divine persons are named together, so you often see this at the end of prayers, it says through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father and the Spirit, right? And then it also says at the name of the Blessed Virgin Mary and at the name of the saint whose particular feast or memorial is being observed. So a simple bow, like I said, is just a bow at your neck, just your head down, that's it, back up.